We've come today to the last Sunday of the church year, so with Advent, we begin a new church year. And so as we celebrate the last Sunday of the year, the church looks forward then to what is going to happen in the second coming of Christ, to that time as we look toward the end. And as I have mentioned to you many, many times, this is not the end of the world, but I think it is the end of an era. So just as we heard in the gospel reading today what our Lord spoke to his apostles, and he said at the end of the gospel reading that all of these things I say to you, this generation will not pass away till all these things have been accomplished. Now, people look at that and say, well, wait, it's been 2,000 years and these things haven't been accomplished yet. How could he say that? All those things were accomplished. Remember in the year 70 when the Romans destroyed Jerusalem, everything that Jesus spoke had been accomplished. It was the end of an era, and it was a new beginning. That's exactly what I believe that we are about to endure, the end of an era. Then we will see the triumph of the Immaculate Heart and a new beginning. But that means we have to go through some pretty ugly times. And so it's important to recognize why the church then, in that context, gives us this reading from St. Paul's letter to the Colossians, where he prays that through the power of God, that we will be brought unto perfect patience and long-suffering. Because that's exactly what we're going to need. But then St. Paul follows it with an interesting point, and this is what every one of us needs to look at. Joyfully, joyfully rendering thanks to God the Father, who has made us worthy to share the lot of the saints in light. He rescued us from the power of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. So why are we going to have to go through this? Because we have chosen the kingdom of darkness once again in this country over the kingdom of light. And you might look at it and say, well, but the people just, we had an election and didn't we go the right direction? The people of America decided to go fiscally conservative. And in almost every situation, not all of them, but almost all of them, where abortion was on the ballot, they voted for it. Across the board. There's no moral conversion. We just want more money in our pocketbooks, but we don't want to change our lives. We've destroyed marriage. We have destroyed children. We're involved with all kinds of horrible things. Think of all the porn, all the garbage that comes out of this country. The number of children, of our own children, that we have destroyed. And now we vote for it to say, yes, this is what we want. This is good for women. Right. Destroy a woman and destroy her children, and that's supposed to be good. Now, because the people of America and throughout the world have not had a conversion, God's going to have to bring it about. People have made their choice. They could see that there was a problem. They could see the trajectory that this country was going in. And they said, I want more money. Greed is a major problem. Which is why we want to get rid of the children, because they're expensive. I can't go on fancy vacations if I have more kids. I can't have what I want if I have more kids. And so as a nation, we have decided evil, darkness, and immorality are far more important than doing the will of God. And it's not just America. Europe, if you want to think of it in this bizarre way, is about 10 or 15 years ahead of us. They are way more depraved than what we are. And so this needs to happen. And it is a necessity. So it's something that we need all to be prepared for. Well, we don't know exactly what's going to happen. We don't know the timing. What we can look at, again, is what Jesus talks about. When you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel, what exactly is that? What happened back in the year 69 that brought it all about? I don't know. But what we can say is that, first of all, we recognize when you look at the book of the prophet Ezekiel that the Spirit of God left the temple, and then there was a period of time before things crashed. Jesus was crucified in the year 33, and it wasn't until the year 70 that the temple was destroyed, along with the rest of Jerusalem. Just yesterday, Cardinal Mueller put out a letter, and he talked about the seven sins against the Holy Spirit that are being perpetrated in the church, not just in general in the church, by the highest members of the hierarchy in the church right now. Now, that's a pretty scary thought because, I mean, Cardinal Mueller is not stupid, and he's very careful with his words. So to put something out that says, these are seven sins against the Holy Spirit, a sin against the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, cannot be forgiven. So if we are committing sins against the Holy Spirit, that tells us the Spirit has left the temple. It was at this pulpit back a number of years ago that Father Eckhart stood here and said exactly that. They bowed down and worshiped that blasted Pachamama thing right in St. Peter's Basilica. And when they brought in a pagan idol to worship in the house of God, the Spirit of God left the temple. And now what we're seeing is the systematic decline to the point where we have a cardinal who was the head of the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, the very one who is supposed to be making sure that everything is in good order faith-wise. He is the one standing up and saying what is going on in the church right now are seven different sins against the Holy Spirit. So we see on the natural level, as I mentioned a moment ago, and obviously you can look in a whole lot of other areas in the natural level, obviously, there is nothing worse than the sacrifice to Satan of our own children. And you can look on the spiritual level. And we are committing sins against the Holy Spirit. That is a serious charge. Seven of them, to be exact. Obviously, this cannot stand. God has been very patient. I have many times said, if I was God, and thanks be to God, I am not, the first baby that would have been destroyed would have been the end of it all. And he has tolerated more than a billion worldwide. And just a couple of days ago, our wonderful, devout Catholic president, whom the Pope himself said, because you are such a good Catholic, you can go to communion, gave the highest award given to a civilian to Seal Richards. Richardson or whatever her name is, the head of Planned Parenthood, because she has done so much for the good of America. Yeah, we have made our choice. This cannot stand. And so this country, which is consecrated to God from its inception, and which the Catholic bishops consecrated to the Immaculate Conception of the Blessed Virgin Mary, it will survive, but it needs desperately to be purified, as does the church. That is why this must happen. And I say all that to put it into a context of why St. Paul says we need to be joyfully offering thanks to God. Because it's not going to be fun. It is not going to be pleasant. This is going to be a horrible time to be alive. And yet at the same time, the most blessed time in history to be alive. We have to see the blessed part. If all we do is look at it and go, but I'm hungry and I'm cold and I'm suffering. Yeah, there's no cause for rejoicing if you look at it that way. That's why St. Paul's praying for patience and long-suffering and joyfully rendering thanks to God, because we know why it is happening. Because God is purifying things. Now we have a clash that is coming. We have a Russian general just a couple of days ago that said World War III has begun. We have this maniac who is supposedly Catholic in the White House that said, oh, go right ahead and fire missiles into Russia. What a great idea. Why? Because we want World War III. Who in their right mind would do something like that? Only somebody who's not in their right mind, I guess. So I say that to be able to say, but if all these evil people are doing all of this, how can this be of God? Go back and read the Old Testament. God used the Assyrians, a group of pagans who were absolutely unlawful, who were not good people, and he said, I used them as the means of purification. And those are my words, not his, but I used them to do my work. And they became arrogant, so I had to deal with them. So God uses the evil to bring about good. So don't focus on the evil that's happening. Don't focus on all the other garbage. Focus on the Lord. He's the one who is ultimately at work here. And that's where we need to keep our focus. As we move through, because this isn't going to be quick. This is going to take a while before we get to the end. And so we need to keep our focus and our hope. The Lord said with regard to the end of the world, if the time weren't shortened, even the elect would fall astray. That's how bad it's going to be. So we're going to see, as he said, false prophets and false Christs. We're going to see an abomination of desolation in the holy place. I have thought long and hard about what that means. I went back to look at what the Hebrew actually says in the book of the prophet Daniel. And it doesn't say an abomination of desolation. It says an abomination that makes desolate or that causes desolation. At that point, this is just me looking at it, I said, well, an invalid mass would do exactly that, which they do have planned, as I understand. And so when we see that, be prepared. because this is where we're headed. So as we talk about the end of the world in the readings today, we have to apply it very specifically to our own situation, the end of an era. Because these things, just as they happened in Jerusalem in the year 70, will be happening to our world now. And they're going to happen again when the end of the world finally arrives, whenever that will be. This isn't the end of the world, but all of the indicators will be there because it will be a prefiguration. So that when the end of the world comes, those people can look back at our time and say, look at what happened back then. This is what we can be looking for. This is what we can expect. So the Lord said, be careful that you don't get led astray. There are going to be false prophets. There are going to be false Christs. There are going to be all kinds of nonsense. He made very clear that until you see the light of the sun go out, he's not going to be seen. So don't believe any of the junk. It's going to be easy. You're going to be in trouble. You're going to be having difficulty. If somebody says, hey, he's here or there. Wow, what a great thing. Let's go. It's happening. If you haven't seen the sun go dark yet, it's not going to happen. So we've got specific things that we can look at as we move forward. But we need to make sure that spiritually we are prepared. That's what St. Paul is praying for the Colossians. That's what the church is giving to us in the readings today in this specific context. So we need to make that prayer our own. Patience, long-suffering, and joyfully rendering thanks to God. Because the kingdom of his Son is being established. The kingdom of darkness is trying to take over, but we have been ransomed from the kingdom of darkness, and we've been brought into the kingdom of the Son of God. So now is our opportunity to actually live that way, to reject the garbage, to see what God is doing, and to rejoice in it. Because in the triumph of the Immaculate Heart, we will actually be able to live the way we're supposed to. Everything will be pure and beautiful. It will be charity, it will be faith and hope. Everything will be as God created it to be. You and I have never, ever experienced that in our lives. But that's what God has coming, if we will remain faithful, if we will be patient and long-suffering and joyfully render thanks to God.